It really depends, for the most part, which political side you stand on. And that's why I think it's more important that we hear from the people who are coming from these towns and cities, and they especially sit on planning and zoning commissions or committees, so that they can give us perspective of what's happening in their municipalities and how this massive housing bill could truly impact them. And I came across an article that I thought was really thoughtful, very factual, and from the perspective of somebody who not only understands local zoning, but actually read line by line this House Bill 5002, this massive 90-plus page housing bill. This man read the entire bill and really considered what would it mean for the town that he serves as the chair for their Planning and Zoning Commission. Joining me now is Rob Hendrick. And Rob, thank you so much for not only writing this piece, for then also sharing it here on WICC. We really appreciate it. First and foremost, let people have a sense of who you are, how long you've been chair or serving with Planning and Zoning, and what this means to you.
Sure. Thanks, Melissa, for having me on. I've lived in Ridgefield since 2017, although grew up in Philadelphia and was involved in planning and zoning things down in that part of the country. I've been elected to the Planning and Zoning Commission here in Ridgefield since 2019, and I became the chair in 2021.
Well, it looks like in your most recent article, which again, I'm going to attach it to your podcast when we post it to our website, voiceofct.com, you say, again, straight to the point. And again, I don't mean that emotion doesn't matter, because it does, but I think we need facts so much more than even emotion sometimes. You say to the point, right. There are a few items in here that really are of concern for Ridgefield and the surrounding communities. For example, the bill has some significant flaws which will most likely hurt small towns and small businesses. What do you mean by that, Rob?
Well, I think the thing is that the bill, by the way, I'm a person who's, I should say, first of all, very much in favor of increasing housing stock, both in Connecticut and in Ridgefield. But I just think that this bill goes about it all the wrong way. One of the biggest things that, you know, you can see throughout the bill is a move to have housing and residential developments happen as of right in our communities. And by the way, the way the bill's drafted, it's not just affordable housing, but it's actually an awful lot, almost all residential development, other than single family homes, would be allowed to occur in our towns as of right. And for people who might not understand it as well, what as of right basically means is that an applicant can go in, or needs to be able to go in by the regulations, and get an application approved for a residential development in the planning and zoning office by staff, and have no commission review and no public review. And the real problem with that is that our regulations are written intentionally to have the simple applications go through staff. And when applications are more complex, that's when they go in front of a commission and the public, so that we can make sure that those applications are done well. If we're going to move substantially all residential applications through the staff process, what you actually will need to do is write a lot more regulation to try to make those complex applications something that can be done in a staff review. Those regulations are going to be a lot more involved. They're probably going to be imperfect for maybe a decade or more. They'll be evolving and they'll be less and less perfect. And in the meantime, staff will need to just push those things through the office, and we won't have good review because the regulations are not built to handle complex applications. It also creates more of a burden on the staff.
I was just going to say, do you need more people then, I would think?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. A lot of small towns throughout Connecticut, I mean, big cities may have, a dozen people on a planning and zoning staff in the office. Most small towns have two, three, maybe four people. They might need to double the size of that staff in a small town. We certainly would in Ridgefield. We have two people. I can guarantee you we would need to add one or two more to handle that much more applications in the office. It also hurts businesses. I mentioned in my article because, one of the elements of this bill, which, by the way, I fundamentally support the idea of conversion conversion of commercial spaces to residential. That's a great idea in many, many cases. But there are also many cases where it's not a good idea, where we want to make sure that we preserve inventory for commercial, for businesses, small merchants. To the extent that those buildings be converted to housing, you could actually be increasing rents in our small towns and in our, you know, for our small businesses throughout Connecticut.
So again, we have Rob Hendrick here, who is the chair of the Planning and Zoning Commission in Ridgefield, and most recently wrote, I thought, a very thoughtful article, especially if you're somebody who is saying, hey, we need affordable housing. We have a housing crisis. But I want to understand this 90 plus page bill and whether or not it's more good than bad or vice versa. And right now, the governor is sifting through that piece of legislation. He has not decided whether or not to sign it or to veto it or to have a special session around it. We are just not sure at this point. So we're really trying to get perspective from the towns and cities who have said this is not the answer, essentially. Another thing, Rob, I wanted to ask you about is when you look at this as well, and I was talking to Representative Rojas about this, the House Majority Leader, is there's a part in this bill that doesn't make sense to me. And when I brought it up to him, I think he missed why I brought this up. I don't think he understood what I was saying, but he said, well, you know, we're not taking away local control. All we're saying is that local planning and zoning boards, if we say to them, hey, you need X amount of housing, you know, to be affordable and to reach the threshold we need, if they say to us, well, we've already reached it or we can't do that because of X, Y, and Z, he said, then nothing happens. And I said, well, Representative, I don't know if anybody would believe that. To me, I don't understand. That's the part that really bothers me is there's this, you know, oh, well, no, we're not taking over. We're not doing a one size fits all. And that basically he called them boogeymen. He didn't call you, though. He said that yours was a really thoughtful article, actually. But he says there are other entities in the state that are kind of like boogeyman, sort of fearing people, fear mongering people into thinking this is this awful bill and that we're taking over and we're losing local control. And I said, and maybe to some extent that could be exaggerated. However, and this is what I didn't get the answer on. I said, however, it's fair to ask that question because when they do come to Hartford and say, hey, we've already met the threshold, we did it, or we can't do what you're asking because of X, Y, and Z, do you really expect people to believe that you're just going to say, okay, well, we tried, there'd be no point in passing the bill, right? I mean, am I right in asking that?
Right. And, you know, again, I actually I'm a huge supporter of many of the initiatives that are trying to be done by this bill. But I would disagree with Representative Rojas that, you know, it is, again, not to harp on the topic, but the as of right insertion, you know, in multiple places in this bill. If you just took out the words as of right and the phrases related to as of right, then actually a lot of the initiatives that they, you know, that the bill tries to advance would be fine. You would allow local towns to have some level of discretion and their commissions to make sure that specific projects are the right fit for their towns. The problem is, as soon as you say it has to be as of right, then those projects are going to sail through with minimal review and virtually no ability to deny them, and that becomes the problem. That's where these you know, mandates really do become something that towns will not be able to control unless they overregulate. That's again the answer. The only thing that towns would be able to do is make their regulations immensely more complicated to make sure that these projects are good. And that's just going to slow things down just as much. So, again, I really agree with what Representative Rojas and others want to do. I just don't think that this is the way to do it.
I wish I was more involved in the bill earlier, to tell you the truth, because I think there's some red flags in it, and I know why it makes people nervous. But it's basically gross misrepresentation from the anti-growth people down there that are stirring people up.
So you're hearing from Governor Lamont. This was right after the session had wrapped up last week, and still today we don't have a confirmed answer if Governor Lamont will sign House Bill 5002 into law. That's that massive housing bill. And so we're continuing to get perspective, especially from people who work on local planning and zoning commissions, including Rob Hendrick, who is here, the chair of the Planning and Zoning Commission in Ridgefield, who also broke down some of the brokenness he feels is in this bill in a recent article. We're going to put it on our website as well. Rob, I had to cut you off before. Sorry about that. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, it's really interesting. You're talking about the governor saying that, you know, we have to do something. I absolutely agree with the governor. I've heard him say, sometimes in person, you know, you don't like 830G, show me something better. That's a line I think I've heard
yes.
right out of his mouth. And you said, I listened to your interview with Renee Dovos, where, you know, you said, hey, this bill appears to just build on top of 830G without changing anything about 830G. I have a suggestion for the governor and for Representative Rojas and others. I think, you know, one of the things we could do to advance affordable housing while also addressing 830G is put an exemption in 830G that when a town, when a local municipality adopts an inclusionary zoning regulation that actually mandates affordable housing at 830G levels or higher, then in that zone, in that area, applications would not have the option to appeal under 830G. That's a major problem. You know, in Ridgefield here, less than 2 years ago, we actually adopted an inclusionary zoning regulation, which mandates locally housing projects of five or more must include an affordable housing component. But when we debated that here locally, we discovered that we couldn't even make that mandate larger than 15%, because the closer you get to 30%, everybody says, oh, well, we'll just go 830G and we'll skip all of your other rules. Well, we could actually mandate 30% or higher locally if, in fact, we could enforce the rest of our rules. So why not make that? Why not make that kind of adjustment to 830G, which would give municipalities an incentive to create their own local inclusionary zones at an 830G level or higher?
I mean, Rob, does that come down to the God Almighty buck? I hate to say it that way, but I mean, why else then? So to me, when you hear people saying, well, we want to create it, we want to do whatever we can, and you've got these, I can't stand, I guess, the mentality of you've got these hoity-toity towns. I hate to say it that way, but that's basically coming from Hartford, that you've got these hoity-toity towns who don't want people changing the, but I'm like, that's not the narrative. That is actually really what's happening here. I always bring up this example because I have family who lives in Fairfield. I have seen three or four housing complexes pop up in Fairfield right near the Metro train station there. Most, if not all of it, is not affordable. How do I know that? Because I have family members who would love to live in Fairfield, who'd love to work in Fairfield, but they can't afford to live there. I mean, the average person's not affording to live in these complexes. So why do they keep popping up? And why do we keep saying, well, we're creating it? No, we're not. We're really not, because 830G basically doesn't work. And we've heard that from both sides,
That's
but
right.
nobody will derail it, fix it, change it. Instead, we're building on top of it. And I don't
That's right.
know why.
And this bill actually will make that worse. I mean, a lot of people have talked about the parking requirements section of this bill. If you read the parking requirements section, it exempts all residential developments from parking requirements, not affordable housing residential developments, but all residential developments. So in places like Ridgefield or Westport or elsewhere, what you'll find is luxury residential townhome and condo builders taking advantage of the no parking requirement section of this bill. That's not advancing affordable housing. That's going to be advancing luxury condos. And that's a problem.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest takeaways, it feels like, is are we just making the developers richer, and are we actually addressing the problem at hand? And I think a lot of towns and cities overwhelmingly are saying no, that this bill as it stands right now doesn't do what it should. Again, the intention is not the question. It's what the language is saying and what it really would mean. And so, Rob Hendrick, I want to thank you so much for having this conversation. I would love to have you back on, and certainly we'll see what happens up in Hartford.